I used to go to church for two reasons, girls and donuts. As long as there were cute girls in mass and donuts afterwards, I kept coming back. But I didn't have a choice growing up. You see, at home, if I went up to my dad on Sunday and I was like, hey, Dad, today's Sunday, the day of rest. Perhaps we should stay home this weekend and rest. Chick-fil-A does it. Whoosh. Ow. So we get in the family car and we drive to church. And as soon as we park the car, I would run in first. And you might be like, why? It was a practical reason. If I ran in first, I got to pick the seats for the whole family. You know what I'm saying, gentlemen? So I go in the back and I bless myself with the holy water and I scope out the situation. I look for that cute girl in the front and I just park myself right here, and as soon as my family would see the back of my head, they'd be grumbling. They'd be like, why, Paul? We're Catholic. We sit in the back. And I would look back and I go, don't you want to be closer to Jesus? He's up here. Come and see. And so my prayer was answered. I got to sit next to this cute girl during Mass, and where I was at in my faith was really just minimal. I didn't really have faith. But I knew I got to sit next to this girl, so I wasn't focused on any part of the Mass except the Our Father.
¿Por qué? ¿Por qué no?
Because at the Our Father, I got to hold this girl's hand. No questions asked.
Our Father who art in heaven,
and the Father would say his prayers, and that was my time to act. Gentlemen, it's extremely important in life to be very direct with women. You need to make clear what your intentions are. You need to say what you need to say. You don't do it over text, you do it in person. So gathering up all the manly courage I had in my heart, I looked over and I said, hey. And she's like, hey.
I was reading the Bible, the book of Numbers, and I couldn't find yours. Could I have it?
L.
Perhaps we should pray the rosary together, because I'd like to be your joyful mystery for the next five decades. No, you don't want to pray. Okay. You know why King David had hundreds of wives? Because he never met you.
Mom, can I trade saints?
So no girlfriend, no number, but always donuts. Thank you, donuts. You've been so good to me. So good to me. Donut, give up. So anyways, in high school, my youth minister invited me to my first Steubenville conference. She's like, hey, Paul, do you want to go to Steubenville? I said, what did you call me? That's rude. She's like, not Stupidville, Steubenville. And I was like, what is that? It's an event where thousands of young people go to learn about Jesus. And I'm like, thousands of girls? She's like, sign me up. I'm like, okay. So anyways, I'm going to tell you more about that journey tomorrow morning for the Sunday keynote when you are half awake. But for today, I want to talk about how God not only wants to elevate our faith and our relationship with Him, but He also wants us to elevate our use of social media. I showed you a music video with one of my music videos on it, very low budget. I'm not a rapper. There's so many good viral videos. I can't say my video's gotten like millions of views. It got like 140,000, which is pretty cool. But there's so many out there, and one of them I want to share with you, one of my all-time favorites. It's called Dramatic Squirrel. I had to process that for like months. It was just so deep. 3.2 million views the last time I checked. Guys, there is so much content out there. If you played nonstop every YouTube video that exists, you would die like five times before you got to the end. There's so much material on the web. Our world has changed so very much. Guys, I grew up in the 1980s. I was born in 83. If you do the math, I'm 34 years old. And you're like, dang, you're old. Don't judge me. I still look pretty good because I have those Asian genes, okay? Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. But seriously, the internet has changed so much. We didn't have Wi-Fi, we didn't have Ethernet, we had dial-up. Anyone remember dial-up here? You had to plug your computer into the phone jack and it'd make this like hideous sound every time you wanted to go online. It'd be like, you know, and it felt like you were communicating with the spaceship. And eventually you would dial up. It would take literally a few hours to download a 1-minute video. People today, You complain if your Wi-Fi checks out for like 2 seconds. Guys, give it time. You understand what's happening here? Your phone is sending a signal to a satellite. You can't see it. The satellite shooting it into outer space, thousands and thousands of miles away. It's beaming it back down so you could upload your selfie. Be patient here. It's amazing how much technology has changed. And not only that, people are super attached to their phones. Who brought a phone today? Anyone have a smartphone?
You're like, duh. It's 2017, bro.
People have weird, committed relationships with their phone. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's super weird. Like, people get really attached. Like, they're like, hi, iPhone. I love you. You sleep next to me. You wake up next to me. You massage my leg when people text. I love you so much. You ever seen someone drop their phone? It's like so epic, because it's like, oh.
I just bought him. He was so young. Can you please check if it's cracked for me? I can't bear to. I can't.
Oh, it's fine. We love our phones. You know, that's kind of the problem in our world today, right? We love our objects, and we use people. You know, we'll drop our phone. It'll be like the world's over. Your brother falls off the roof. You'll be like, ah! Wait, hold on, let me film that with my phone. Yeah. We're crazy, man. We're so crazy. We get things mixed up sometimes. We love objects and we use people. No wonder the world has some issues today. Guys, we need to elevate so many things in our lives. But before we talk more about that, I just want to read. Oh, that was so scary. Nightmares. I want to read you guys some, technology. I want to read you some statistics about social media. Teens spend 9 hours a day on social media. Dang. 2.5 billion people have social media accounts. I don't even think 2.5 billion people have running water. How does that even make sense? People like 1.7 million pictures a minute on Instagram. It's mostly like Bieber and Taylor Swift. They're probably responsible. People like Facebook statuses 500,000 times every minute. People tweet 500 million times on Twitter a day. And people Snapchat 9,000 times per second on Snapchat. How could you possibly use that dog face filter so many times? It doesn't even make sense. 9,000 times per second. Second. That's like 27,000 snaps right now. Mind blowing. Guys, let me ask you a question, because the stat is 9 hours a day. 9 hours a day. Raise your hand if you feel like you use your phone for 1 hour a day, or social media in general, 1 hour.
You're like, weak.
2 hours. 3 hours. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. 9, 24. What's wrong with you? Live your life. No, I get it. Social media is highly addictive. They program it in such a way where they want to keep you on their app or their site as long as possible. Guys, I get that. And you know, earlier this year, there was a viral video that went around. I don't know how many views it has, but it was by a guy named Simon Sinek. Have you seen this video? This dude's an expert sort of on the millennial generation and their use of technology. And I'm going to show you a clip from this video. And just a disclaimer, because some of you might listen to him and be like, oh my gosh, he's so condescending. But he really cares about people in this generation. So he's not like, I know everything. But he's really trying to drop some knowledge on the fact that we need to be aware of some things in regards to social media. So here we go.
We're growing up in a Facebook, Instagram world. In other words, we're good at putting filters on things. We're good at showing people that life is amazing even though I'm depressed, right? And so everybody sounds tough, and everybody sounds like they got it all figured out. And the reality is there's very little toughness, and most people don't have it figured out. And so when the more senior people say, well, what should we do? They sound like, this is what you got to do. And they have no clue. Right? So you have an entire generation growing up with lower self-esteem than previous generations, right? Through no fault of their own. Through no fault of their own, right? They were dealt a bad hand, right? Now let's add in technology. We know that engagement with social media and our cell phones releases a chemical called dopamine. That's why when you get a text, it feels good, right? So, you know, we've all had it where you're feeling a little bit down or feeling a bit lonely, and so you send out 10 texts to 10 friends, you know, hi, 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 because it feels good when you get a response, right? Right? It's why we count the likes. It's why we go back 10 times to see if my Instagram is growing slower. Did I do something wrong? Do they not like me anymore? Right? The trauma for young kids to be unfriended, right? Because we know when you get a hit of dopamine, which feels good. It's why we like it. It's why we keep going back to it. Dopamine is the exact same chemical that makes us feel good when we smoke, when we drink, and when we gamble. In other words, it's highly, highly addictive. Right? We have age restrictions on smoking, gambling, and alcohol, and we have no age restrictions on social media and cell phones, which is the equivalent of opening up the liquor cabinet and saying to our teenagers, hey, by the way, this adolescence thing, if it gets you down. But that's basically what's happening. That's basically what's happening, right? That's basically what happened. You have an entire generation that has access to an addictive, numbing chemical called dopamine through social media and cell phones as they're going through the high stress of adolescence. Why is this important? Almost every alcoholic discovered alcohol when they were teenagers. When we're very, very young, the only approval we need is the approval of our parents. And as we go through adolescence, we make this transition where we now need the approval of our peers. Very frustrating for our parents, very important for us. It allows us to acculturate outside of our immediate families into the broader tribe. Right? It's a highly, highly stressful and anxious period of our lives, and we're supposed to learn to rely on our friends. Some people, quite by accident, discover alcohol and numbing effects of dopamine to help them cope with the stresses and anxieties of adolescence. Unfortunately, that becomes hardwired in their brains, and for the rest of their lives, when they suffer significant stress, they will not turn to a person, they will turn to the bottle. Social stress, financial stress, career stress, that's pretty much the primary reasons why an alcoholic drinks. Right? What's happening is because we're allowing unfettered access to these dopamine-producing devices and media, basically it's becoming hardwired, and what we're seeing is as they grow older, too many kids don't know how to form deep, meaningful relationships. Their words, not mine. They will admit that many of their friendships are superficial. They will admit that their friends, that they don't count on their friends, they don't rely on their friends, they have fun with their friends, but they also know that their friends will cancel on them if something better comes along. Deep, meaningful relationships are not there because they never practice the skill set, and worse, they don't have the coping mechanisms to deal with stress. So when significant stress starts to show up in their lives, they're not turning to a person, they're turning to a device, they're turning to social media, they're turning to these things which offer temporary relief. We know, the science is clear, we know that people who spend more time on Facebook suffer higher rates of depression than people who spend less time on Facebook. Right? These things balanced. Alcohol is not bad. Too much alcohol is bad. Gambling is fun. Too much gambling is dangerous. Right? There's nothing wrong with social media and cell phones. It's the imbalance.
So guys, after I watched that video, it made me aware of perhaps the many ways in my life where am I addicted to my smartphone? Am I addicted to these dopamine-causing social media apps? And it's really interesting, these studies on the human brain and how our brains can become so hardwired and addicted to these little life-saving devices. So let me ask you a few questions, just some open, honest questions. All right. One, raise your hand if you've ever felt addicted to your smartphone. Thank you for your honesty. Put your hand down. If you ever thought your phone was ringing in your pocket when it actually wasn't. Oh no, it was just a giant mosquito. Dang it. I wanted to text real bad. Put your hand down. If you ever use social media to make yourself appear happier than you actually were in the moment, raise your hand. Put your hand down. If you ever felt a little depressed or let down when your post or picture wasn't liked as many times as you thought it would be, raise your hand.
Put your hand down. You knew you needed to sleep or get something done, but you just kept scrolling down that feed, hoping to find or see or discover the meaning of life. Raise your hand. Okay, thank you for your... We're all in this together, guys. Okay, every single one of us, we've experienced how powerfully attractive and addicting these little items, these objects can be in our lives. Don't get me wrong, right? I want to boil this down because not all of it is bad. This is not the purpose of this workshop. The purpose is to understand that these technological advances, the social media, the various apps you use, these are gifts. But gifts sometimes are neither neutral. I mean, they're neither negative or positive. They're somewhat of a neutral. It depends on what you decide to do with them. We all have this natural desire, guys, to be noticed, to be accepted, to feel like we belong, to feel affirmed. But the question is, at what cost? You guys went to the men's session with Gomer. You went to the women's session with Sister Miriam. And I'm sure they gave you a ton of food for thought in regards to where does your value come from? Where does your worth come from? It's not based on all these things and all these ways that people perceive you. But really, when you boil it down, it comes from who you are, your value in Christ. You know, popularity is such a powerful influence. I remember in high school, I was in track and field. Anyone track and field athletes? Okay. You know, for me, I was more of a long distance guy. I was on the 800 meter one weekend at a track meet. And you know, at the track meet, sometimes you have to wait for hours till it's your turn for the event, yeah? And so I got hungry because my metabolism was just crazy when I was in high school. And so I was like, I'm bored, I'm hungry, I'm going to run to Jack in the Box. So I ran to Jack in the Box. I thought this was a good idea, by the way. I ordered like chicken nuggets and I ran back thinking, I still have time, I'm good. And as soon as I got back to the track, I was up next. And I was like, dang it. Okay, I got this. So I'm stretching out, I'm getting ready, and I'm off. 800 meters, two times around the track, and I'm killing it. I'm beating everybody. I'm like, I still got wind in me. I can win this thing. I do about 400 meters, and then I feel in my stomach, gurgle, gurgle. And I was like, oh no. Oh no. It's not good. You see, I came to this pivotal fork in the road, okay? There were two options ahead of me. One, I could win this race and crap my pants. Or two, I could still have somewhat of a positive reputation in high school. I chose the reputation, guys. I was going to lose this race. I did not care. Obviously, a very stupid example. But nonetheless, popularity, this desire to feel wanted and accepted, to not be made fun of, to feel like you are someone people respect and perhaps even look up to. Every one of us has this desire in our hearts. So guys, let me read about our ability, because here's the thing. Our faith is not something we turn on and shut off as soon as Sunday's over. Our faith is something that we're supposed to live out every single day. We're not just able to check out as soon as we check into Mass, say, I've done my Catholic duty. And so also with social media, Christ wants to elevate that aspect of our life. So I want to focus a little bit on the positive. This is a quote from Pope Francis. Communication, wherever and however it takes place, has opened up broader horizons for many people. This is a gift of God which involves great responsibility. I like to refer to this power of communication as closeness. It's beautiful. Raise your hand if you've ever made friends through the internet that you wouldn't have otherwise met. I'm not talking about Tinder, okay? I do not recommend. Okay, no. I'm talking about genuine relationships and friendships that you have developed. And obviously, many of you have raised your hands. It's amazing how you can stay connected with family and friends who don't live in your immediate area. It's beautiful how it's allowed us this wonderful thing. I want to continue here. Some other examples of positive communication on social media. Obviously, sharing life events, good times with friends and family, inspiring posts, videos, and quotes. Funny posts that bring joy and laughter without the perversion. And you know what I'm talking about. Guys, we can share so much humor, so many great memes and videos without getting nasty. And I think we all have an idea of what that line might be. Another thing is witnessing to your faith in Christ. Guys, I think it's so important for us to realize
that spreading the faith isn't just the job of our priests and our sisters and our religious. It belongs to each and every one of us. And the truth is that they can't witness in the same way that you do, that I do. And so for myself, even on social media, I like to use it to spread some positivity, to share the good things in life. So if it's all right, I want to share a video of me and my family. I have the wonderful privilege and blessing of being married to a beautiful wife. Her name's Maggie. We've been married for almost 4 years. I have two beautiful children. Audrey is 2.5 years old, and Aiden is 1 year old. And we own a minivan. What? Life is awesome. But, you know, as parents, we find ways to have fun without spending a lot of money. And one of them is here at Party City.
It's Shark Week. Dan and ow. Dan and ow. Dan and dan and dan and
I'm getting angry.
That's what happens when mommy's hangry.
It's me, Mario.
No, it's me, Mario.
No, it's me, Mario.
Who are we? Where are we? Alfred!
Me?
You're not Alfred. You're not a British white man.
You want to see a Jabberwocky that can't dance?
All right, that's embarrassing. I don't really dance like that. Sort of, kind of. I have my moments. So there you go. I mean, just sharing great times with your family. I'm going to show you some other examples of social media. On Easter, I found this image and I posted it. It's pretty funny. This is the words of Jesus, YOLO, lol, just kidding, be right back, get it? So, anyways, you're like, ha.
I found it particularly humorous, so.
There's a website, an account that I follow. It's also a podcast. It's called Art of Manliness for you guys. This is a great resource. It just talks about manly issues and living out virtue. But I love this quote. It says, quote, "There are two freedoms, the false, where a man is free to do what he likes, and the true, where a man is free to do what he ought." Boom. Brothers, you have what it takes. All right? So, once again, it's about filling our minds. It's about filling our hearts with messages that are positive, that build us up, that lift us up, and help us to practice our faith. I have a friend named Emily Wilson Hussam. She's also a speaker on Steubenville. She has a beautiful outreach to women, specifically encouraging women in Christ to live out their faith. This is a picture on the day of her wedding, which I personally got to go to, and it was just beautiful to witness. But something she wrote in the caption, she writes, "I got an email from a girl this week who had been dating a guy. She thought he was great, and she really liked him. Once he found out she was saving sex for marriage, he ended things immediately. This is a situation I hear about often. She was sad, understandably, because this situation can definitely sting. But I've got a message for her and any other women out there who've dealt with this or ever will. Listen here, you should celebrate. I wish I could high-five you and buy you a pizza. Why? Because by his honesty, you have just been freed from wasting even one more day of your precious life dating a boy who wanted to take from you what didn't belong to him. Now you're available to date a man, which is a fantastic thing, because men look to get to know your heart and learn about every facet of the beautiful soul you've got." Boom. Another friend of mine, Jackie Francois Angel, she's a good friend of mine, also a Steubenville speaker. She posted about this man. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is Nick Vujicic. Anyone heard of Nick Vujicic? I'm sure he has an Instagram account and all that stuff. Nick was born without arms and legs. Without arms and legs. Guys, you're freaking out because you have a pimple on your forehead? No arms, no legs. Like this guy, he was dealt a really bad hand if you think about it. This guy at some point was suicidal. He felt like his life had zero value. Who would ever love him? Who would ever want to marry him? What good would he be able to accomplish with so many handicaps in his life? Fast forward, Nick met Jesus Christ. Christ redeemed and elevated his life, and his story today is such. He travels the world he speaks not only at Christian conferences, but he also speaks to presidents and leaders of nations, inspiring them with his message of hope. He's married to this beautiful woman, and I think he has two or three kids. Guys, all things are possible with God, amen? It's amazing how sometimes with social media, we're so busy to compare ourselves. We're so busy to compare how many followers we have or how many likes we got. And guys, at the end of the day, it really isn't about that. That's not where your value comes from. It comes from knowing and understanding who you are and whose you are. Amen? So this is another example. Nick said, I have the choice to be angry at God for what I don't have or be thankful for what I do have. These are some other examples of great accounts. Obviously, Pope Francis, he has one at Twitter and I think also Instagram. It's Pontifex. Steubenville conferences, go to Steubenville, Redeemed Online, another great series that they put out videos throughout the year. Life Teen, Blessed Is She, another outreach to women, and Ascension Press. All great accounts. The question then becomes, well, what about the negative ways? But before I get there, I want us to do a little group activity. Pull out your smartphone if you have it really quick. Pull out your smartphone. And go to your social media app of choice. Some of you use Facebook, not so many, I guess. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Really quick, with people around you, and especially if someone around you doesn't have a phone or has their phone on them, I want you to take a selfie with them really quick and just write a simple caption like, I'm here at the Steubenville Conference, and write something that you've gotten out of it so far. Can you guys do that really quick? All right, I'm going to give you like less than a minute, so go. Take a selfie with some people around you. Okay, guys, once you've taken that video and you've written that short caption, and once again, this is one of the ways that you can share your faith. Maybe you've never shared your faith ever on social media, all right? I'm going to just give you a simple hint or tip in which you can do that. It's called witnessing, right? You're not trying to argue someone into belief. You're just sharing what the Lord has done for you, all right? So it's as simple as that. Throughout Scripture, there's been so many occasions where people's lives were literally changed because of the witness of someone sharing what Christ did for them. So really quick on your caption, just write one thing that you've gotten out of this Steubenville weekend. And then the hashtag that you can use, which we've been using for this workshop, is hashtag Elevate Social Media. E-L-E-V-A-T-E. Yes, I went to college. Elevate Social Media. Another hashtag you can use for this conference specifically is Steuby. S-T-E-U-B-Y-S-T-L for St. Louis. Steuby S-T-L. All right? Can I ask you guys a favor? Can I include you in a picture for my Instagram as well? All right, sweet. Okay. Can you guys turn on the lights in the house really quick? Would that be all right? Guys are beautiful. So beautiful. All right, get ready for this. I'm just going to keep it really simple. I'll just be like, Steubenville, St. Louis, make some noise, and just get up and go crazy, all right? Steubenville, St. Louis, make some noise! Thank you very much, guys. I will include that in my social media. And guys, just for fun, I'm going to do a little social media giveaway. So if you follow me on at least one or two of my handles, I'll make an announcement tonight for somebody who will win some free merchandise. So go ahead and follow me on social media, and I will happily bless y'all with some goodies for free. Guys, we've talked about positive ways of using social media. We've seen how we can bless other people just by showing what God has done in our lives and sharing the good things. But it's a no-brainer that there's a lot of negativity out there as well. Some obvious negative uses of social media include, but are not limited to, bullying. gossiping, sexting, exploiting people, and also the use of porn. Raise your hand if you've ever felt like you were being bullied online. And guys, I'm not talking about just a comment where someone didn't like super like your photo, but I'm talking about people who are just professional trolls. Anybody ever felt like they were being the victim of bullying? Thank you for your honesty. Guys, it's so easy to tear people down. It's much, much too easy. It takes a person of character to lift somebody up. It really, really does, but that's so needed in our world today. Guys, sexting is an issue where I could say so much about this, I'm sure. It's been talked about in the men's session, but it drives me crazy. Because brothers, I believe in you. I know you have what it takes. But I'm so sick and tired of the labels. I'm so sick and tired of the poor examples I see of masculinity. It's not manhood, it's boys. Boys not being men. It doesn't make you the man to request a nude photo of a girl you're into. That doesn't make you the man. You know what makes you the man? You know what makes you the man? It's developing self-respect, figuring out who you are, mind, body, and spirit. It means leveling up. It means getting a job. It means being responsible. It means having the courage to walk up to a girl and ask her out. Say, will you go out with me sometime? And making sure she knows that you're asking her out and it's not just, you want to hang out? It means showing her respect, opening the door, complimenting her. It means showing her that you have a brain to carry a conversation, because you do. It means taking this relationship so seriously that you're discerning your vocation, especially marriage. When you get down on one knee and you ask her these famous words, will you marry me? And if she says yes, then continue. But before that, you need to work harder because diamonds are extremely expensive, guys. Very, very expensive. Terribly expensive. All right? You're going to be prepping for your wedding. But let me tell you something. On your wedding day, before God, before your priest, before your family and your community, you're going to exchange these important vows where you lay your life down. You dedicate yourself to this woman. All right? If this is what you're called to. And on your wedding night, it's then and only then that you have deserved to see a nude picture of your beloved. Amen? It's then and only then. And I use that word deserve lightly because it's a gift. It's not something that you deserve. It's a blessing. It's a gift. Brothers, you have what it takes. There's so many negative examples out there, and I want to encourage us to be the change. Guys, pornography, I could say so much more about it, but Michael is going to give a talk right after mine, a keynote on elevating your mind. He's going to talk about this cancer called pornography. For myself, I was addicted to porn, I think, since first grade. I know that sounds super crazy, considering we didn't even have internet at the time. But yeah, in first grade, I should be just playing outside, you know, playing Pokemon or something. And this guy introduced me to a porno magazine in his garage, and I was like, ah! My precious. In this really weird situation out of Lord of the Rings. And I could say so much more about it, but I want to be honest and serious. Because pornography literally became a disease. It became an addiction, a drug in my life for the next 10 years. And what did porn teach me? It taught me how to use people. It taught me that women aren't meant to be respected and loved. They're meant to be used. And whatever pleasure you get, and then you leave, and then you move on. That's what porn taught me. And one of my great heroes in life, St. John Paul II, he said, it's not that pornography shows too much. It's that it shows too little about the human person. It shows too little. And guys, Michael is going to tag team. He's going to talk more about the issue of pornography. Guys, it's guys and girls, because it's not just a guy issue, it's a girl issue. And it's so prevalent in our world today. If you care about anything that is good and beautiful and true in your life, if you ever want to be married someday, if you ever want to be a priest or a religious someday, then please, I beg you, overcome and work on your problem with porn now. Because if you don't, you will be effectively pulling a gun to the head of whatever your vocation is and shooting it before it ever begins. It's over. Because when you are addicted to porn, you cannot love. It's impossible. Love is willing the good of the other, and lust is using the other. It is impossible to know how to love if you are filled with lust. So once again, the Elevate Your Mind keynote, you're going to talk more about that. There's a couple resources, xxschurch.com. That sounds like a really sketchy church, but it's actually a great resource. Please type it correctly, okay? I don't know what else will come up. XXXchurch.com. It's a ministry and outreach for people, especially Christians who are hooked on porn and want to overcome their problem. Another one is CovenantEyes.com. There are more resources out there, but please work on this problem. Back to sexting. Ladies, you are worth so much more than sending nude photos of yourselves. It's a lie to think you need to show more skin to be valuable, wanted, and loved. That's from me. Guys, once again, these funny memes, I love these memes, things that Jesus never really said. It doesn't really matter what you do, so long as deep down inside you're a good person. Things Jesus never said. It's true. Jesus always challenged. He always accepted people with love, but he always challenged them to go and sin no more. So a couple questions, a couple honest questions, a gut check that I want to bring before us. One, who do you need to unfollow? And two, what do you need to stop posting about? Okay, I don't know because I haven't visited your accounts, but honest to goodness, what are some accounts that you need to unfollow today? And don't do it now, but just think about it. Are there literally people and accounts that you follow that every time you look at it, you fall into some sort of sin because you're busy lusting at a picture or a video? Are there accounts where it fills your mind with negative thoughts about other people? Like, it's not just about laughing and good humor, but it's literally about tearing people down. Who do you follow that you need to unfollow? What are some things that you need to personally stop posting, right? Are your posts negative? Are they immodest? Are they immoral? When another Catholic looks at your account, what will they think? But more importantly, if Jesus were to look at your account with you, what would he say? Would he be like, Kylie, my daughter, Kylie Jenner, I looked at your Instagram and noticed you were naked. Let me clothe you. Okay. Guys, in all honesty, and I'm just picking on fun a little bit, but honestly, if we were to post your Instagram account, your Snapchat account, your Twitter account on the screen for everyone to see right now, would you feel uncomfortable? Would you be like, heck yeah, I'm so proud to show my account? I don't know what your reaction is. But if you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable where you're like, I don't want people to see my account or what I've been posting, then you need to ask yourself the question, what do I need to change? Another question is, do you rely heavily on social media to feel like you're worth something? And guys, I feel like we all struggle with that desire to be accepted, that desire to be liked. But you need to take a break sometimes from posting so much. The temptation even here is after you leave this workshop, the temptation is to be on your phone. Like whenever we feel like there's a break in our life, we're not talking to someone or interacting, what do? Like, it's almost like we can't live without this thing. I want to challenge you today. Just keep your phone in your pocket, keep it in your bag, your purse, keep it away from yourself a little bit extra so you can get to know the people around you. When you have that itch and like almost compulsively you want to be like, oh, I just want to use my phone because I feel uncomfortable with life. Talk to somebody instead. Be like, hey, how was your weekend so far? It's amazing that the very thing we hunger for, which is human interaction, we miss out on all the time because we're literally on our phones. So guys, I want to encourage you. And I want to encourage you in another way. I think one of the great values that people want so badly, or the value of worth in our culture, is the desire to have like millions and millions of followers, okay? Let me tell you something. If you checked your phone right after this talk and you found out that for some reason one of your posts went viral and you got a million followers, that would be crazy, right? Like you literally got a million followers. But let me tell you something. You wouldn't be any happier. You wouldn't be any happier. And you're like, yeah, I would. I'd get all this attention. Really? Would that really make you happy? I mean, just as an example, all these people on TMZ, these celebrities, these athletes, are they any happier because of the tens of millions of people who follow them with all their drug addictions, with their depression, with their failed relationships? Do you feel like they are happier because of that? Sometimes guys, we're misled. Guys and girls, we're misled to think that these things can fill the void in our hearts. But guys, our hearts weren't made to be filled by social media. Our hearts were meant to be filled by our relationship with God and with other people. So guys, remember that. Your key to happiness doesn't lie in how many followers you get. It lies in the fact that you have the freedom to choose your attitude, to be grateful for what you do have, to develop friendships with people, living, breathing people, not just behind your phone, but in person. So guys, anyone can find happiness. Not everyone can have millions of followers, but the good news is we can all find happiness. But it begins in our mind, begins in our hearts. And one last thing is, are you being authentically yourself? I think so often, especially in high school, once again, there's this real pressure to fit in. There's this real pressure to feel like, I want to be part of the crowd. I want to be part of this group, this clique. I want in. And sometimes the way in would be to start trolling on people, or to join in on gossiping, or to act a certain way, or to talk a certain way, or curse a certain way, or live a certain way. Guys, you have to be authentic to who you are. Who are you at your root and your core? It's not in what you do. It's not in what you own. It's not in how cute your significant other is. It's in who you are and whose you are. And you are beloved by Christ. Amen? So brothers and sisters, a lot of food for thought here. I want to encourage you to be the difference. I want to encourage you to understand that everything you're learning this weekend, there's so much information here. There's so many things that maybe have touched you, have challenged you, have encouraged you. I want you to consider how you can apply these things, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow morning at the keynote. But guys, literally be the difference. If all 4,000 of us, yeah, if we started using social media for good, to encourage and lift people up, what kind of a change would that make? What kind of a difference would that make in people's lives? I'm not trying to float my own boat, but there have been times where I posted something and I felt a little bit uncomfortable about it because it was about my faith. Or it was about an idea that's really countercultural because it's something Jesus said. And I was worried, how would people respond to me? Would they stop following me? What would they comment? How would they make fun of me? Or how would they say, you're so backwards, you're so this and you're so that? You know what's crazy is the times that I've posted the things that I felt convicted to, someone would write to me and be like, that helped me so much, thank you. That encouraged me. I was about to do something really stupid, and your post encouraged me to do otherwise. Guys, you don't understand it. We all have trouble understanding this, but every single day, your life can impact people. And it does, and it will. Your life is a gift. Your life is a gift. There's no one else who can do you. So go do you will. Amen? Let's say a prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, we thank you so much for the gift of our life. We thank you so much for the gift of your love. And we are grateful for the many blessings we have, even technology, even social media. But God, sometimes there's the temptation to use these gifts in ways that are not good, not true, and not beautiful. I pray that you would inspire each of us, that you would help us to have an honest gut check in what we need to change and how we need to grow. And how we can better the world that we live in, even one post at a time. God, we ask for your help. We ask for your mercy and your grace. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.